Welcome to Heidelberg Meditations, this Saturday of the 41st week in the year of our Lord 2022, as we conclude our study of Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 109. In question 109 we ask, does God forbid nothing more in this commandment than adultery and such gross sins? We answer, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Spirit, it is his will that we keep both pure and holy. Therefore he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever may entice thereto. Recognizing that the commands of God not only forbid the direct actions of sin, to physically commit murder or adultery, but also the mindset and heart condition of a person, we can readily acknowledge that unchaste thoughts are indeed sinful, as Jesus makes clear in Matthew 5, verse 28. I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Thus, to think lustful thoughts is a sin. This is generally accepted as true by most believers who know the teaching of the Scriptures, particularly as we find them in James 1, verse 14, that each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. But this opens up a further debate centered around the question, are desires themselves sinful? This is an issue many wrestle with, and which is even now being debated in certain Reformed denominations of our own day. The common argument that desires are not inherently sinful goes something like this. I have the desire to do X, X being a specific sin. I have the desire to do X, but I know X is a sin, and so I don't engage in X, and I try not to think about X. But the desire itself isn't sinful, because obviously God created me this way. Besides, I can't change the desire, so it must not be sinful, only what I do with it. This is a very abbreviated outline of such a thinking process, but it captures the essence of what is often argued when it comes to desires and whether or not they are sinful. The response of the majority of Reformed churches has historically been, and in accordance with the Scriptures, that even our desires themselves are sinful. We cannot ever argue that God created us with inherent sinful predilections that cannot be changed. God is not the author of sin. Any sinful desires we have comes from our human nature and from our fallen condition. And to say that such desires cannot be changed is to lessen the power of the gospel and the clear teaching of the Scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of God's people. Galatians 5, verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. While lost to many in our age, this is the doctrine of concupiscence, a long word that basically means illicit desire. To desire sin is sinful, as Paul teaches, contrary to the Spirit. This is part of why he speaks in Romans 7 of the war that is within every believer, that war between the flesh and the Spirit. Desire is a difficult thing to suppress, but by the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, such sinful desires can be mortified and should be mortified. Paul teaches this very thing in Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It is not easy, and it may even take a lifetime, but we cannot ever excuse our sin by pointing to our desires and then acting as if God is okay with it. He is not. Nothing in the Scriptures indicates he is, or ever would be. And to countenance sinful desires as nothing to be ashamed of is not only to dishonor the Creator, but to dishonor the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. But to turn to the Christ of the cross is to find grace and to find the power of the gospel, not only to forgive our sinful inclinations and desires, but to kill that evil desire which is in us, to mortify it according to the word of God, to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.